IP. IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
Welcome to IP Series, home to all things IP related, where I give you the stories, tips, and implications to business and creative decision concerning your intangible assets with real life case study. I am your host, Rita Anwori Chinda. Subscribe and turn on your notification so you don't miss an episode. Cheers, guys.
First of all, happy International Podcast Day to all the amazing creators who have been putting in the work, into my humble self as well. As podcasting becomes very popular and profitable, there are some challenges and pitfalls that every podcaster should be aware of. And I wanted to use today, which is International Podcast Day, to have those conversations. Secondly, I'd like to appreciate all my IP fans, all the podcast listeners globally. Without you, we wouldn't have been able to put in this amazing work to entertain, to inform, and inspire you guys. But then again, one of the issues that podcasters face is the issue of monetization and intellectual property. And you know that I talk about intellectual property on my podcast. So recently, a fellow podcaster like myself, Tony Doe, he had interviewed me, I think it was 2 months ago. He sent me a message on LinkedIn asking if I'd seen a story that was ongoing in the podcast community regarding one of the podcast agency. It's actually a US agency anyways. So he sent me the link and I decided to check it out. And I was like, okay, I think the best day to have this conversation will be on International Podcast Day. So let's dive into our conversation. So special shout out to Tony Doe of Into the Podfest. He's the one that gave me this case and decided to do a review for you guys per usual. But yeah, our conversation for today is a dispute between Cast Media, a podcast network, and its CEO, Colin Thompson, and his former host who were signed to his podcast agency. And they're claiming that they were not paid fairly, they're not paid on time, and that their shows were taken down from his podcast network without their consent. So the outrage now in the podcast community is that a lot of them are making comments that this is another Ponzi scheme in the podcast community. And from my research, they're saying this is not the first time that something like this is happening. But yeah, Collins, because of the fact that he filed a bankruptcy, I mean that he wasn't making enough money to be able to pay the podcasters. He now found another similar platform owner called Podcast One. And that new owner made a new deal with the podcast host. So in this new deal, there are three options. One, you get the 3% cash of what you're owed as soon as possible. Two, you get 3% of what you're owed within 2 years. And finally, stock to be unlocked in 2 years. While they would pay Cast Media, that is the star of our story for today, stocks for every podcaster that took the deal. Now, the podcast community is talking about this because they consider this to be another one of those Ponzi schemes that has happened in the podcast community. So my take today from the intellectual property angle will be the issue of monetization and intellectual property rights that podcasters should be aware of. How can podcasters protect their creative work and get the best deal possible when partnering with podcast agencies or platform? We would also explore some of the best practices and tips for podcasters who want to monetize their podcast without compromising their artistic vision or losing control over their content. What can we actually learn from this? You know, the types of IP, etc., etc. You know, I give you guys my 100% when I'm talking about our story. So, matters arising. So we know that podcasting is a booming industry that attracts millions of listeners and creators every year. I mean, I started during the pandemic, May 2020. So this is like my third year being a podcaster. Now, podcasters can showcase their talent, their passion, their expertise on various topics and niche areas. They also earn money from sponsors, from advertisers, from subscribers. However, podcasting also comes with risk and challenges, especially when it comes to dealing with financial matters. Now, I'm going to delve a little bit into the conversation about this alleged scam. See, I'm being very careful with my words. No one misquotes me regarding this issue. Now, there are certain Ponzi schemes or activities that target podcasters in different way, and they could be in form of someone offering to invest in you or sponsor your podcast in exchange for a fee or a share of the money that you end up making. They can also invite you to join a network or platform that promises to boost your audience and income for a fee or percentage. They can also ask you to promote or endorse a product or service that claims to be innovative, profitable, or beneficial, which is why agencies or jurisdictions like the US will tell, especially now when we have a lot of influencers, will tell you to carry out your due diligence to ensure and give full disclosure. So if you're paid, make sure you tell your listeners that. If you've not reviewed the product and seen how it works, so you need to give full disclosure about whatever it is you're doing. Another way is soliciting donation or contribution for a cause, etc., etc. So I think I've come across some of these schemes, and you find out a lot on. So I joined a couple of podcast communities on Facebook, and the moment you post your link, someone's already in your DM telling you they'll help you promote your podcast, you get 10,000 streams, you get XYZ stream. Sometimes, you know, they randomly just get into your inbox, your DM. Sometimes it may sound really tempting and flattering, especially now where it's, you know, there are some more business model where it's like they pay you per your listeners, by the number of listeners you get. And a lot of people want to get that traction or say, oh, I'm actually making it as a podcaster, etc., etc., you know. But we as podcasters need to be careful and vigilant when dealing with any financial opportunity or proposal that involves our podcast. We also need to carry out our own due diligence, do our research before accepting or agreeing to anything. And some of the red flags that I would, you know, talk about or list would include when someone makes an offer of saying there's a guaranteed investment, lack of transparency or documentation about the source and use of funds. And that was one of the issues that the former host were having with Collins, because I listened to this podcast on YouTube. He was one that really delved into the story, stated that some of the podcasters were saying when he was giving them financial details, they weren't properly done, or he wasn't really being transparent with the funds that were coming in and all of that. Then inconsistency, vague explanation about the business model or strategy, or when you ask questions about payment, difficulty or delay in assessing your money. Sometimes you might be threatened or intimidated when you ask questions, and if you suspect that something is iffy about the relationship you have with a podcast agency, I would just advise that you report it to the relevant authority to do what they need to do, because podcasting is a really rewarding and enjoyable activity that can be profitable if it is well sustained. So your blog post, your transcript of the podcast episode, the music or sound effects, your intro, outro, those enjoy copyright protection. One other beautiful thing about this type of intellectual property is that it grants you automatic protection for the moment your work has been created. So I'm currently recording. That means my work is copyrighted. When I publish it again, it's copyrighted. And copyright grants you some exclusive rights that you can explore in terms of monetization, which is the right to distribute, right to publish, right to reproduce, to produce, to adapt, to translate. So I think I saw somewhere that Spotify is introducing translation from one language to another. I think I saw that. Yeah. So you as a podcaster, those are the rights you get to enjoy. If someone wants to adapt your podcast blog post or transcript from audio to video, they'll need to get your consent able to do that. But then, because we are looking for all of this platform, we always want to sign up to whatever innovation that they come up with. We don't really take notice of what we, the terms and conditions that apply to this. Most of us just click I accept and we move on. You get now under the Copyright Act, what the law now provides is that you may register your copyright with the Nigerian Copyrights Office. So it's not compulsory, but it's important you do so to have proof of ownership, and also you are not able to enforce your intellectual property rights in the event where someone infringes on your copyright. Now, copyright can occur when someone copies your work, distributes it, performs it, displays it, or make derivative work of your podcast, the sound recording of your podcast, a broadcast of your podcast without your permission. And there's what is called fair dealing principle, which is an exception to all of these things. So what fair dealing does under Section 20 is that you can use a podcast for research purpose, for private use, for educational purpose, as a parody. But the moment you start to make money from it, then you can't claim fair dealing. You get so it's very, very important that as podcasters we understand all these things. And I was going to mention something, for trademark. One of the things that the trademark registry or the examiner that will be reviewing your application will take note of is whether your podcast name and logo is capable of being of distinguishing itself in the podcast community, and if it's distinctive enough. Your podcast name must not be similar or identical to another existing one. You must not also use the name of a chemical. You must not use a name that is subject to public morality. So again, your podcast materials will include music, sound clips, images, quotes, interviews. I'm going to talk about interviews in future, but still in today's conversation, we need to always, when you're dealing with intellectual property, you need to get consent, permission, or authorization from the original creators or owners of the material. Get a written license, an exclusive written license that specifies the term and condition of use. Again, there is also conversation as to public domain or Creative Commons licenses or open source licenses that allows you to use free or limited use of a copyrighted work that saves and protects you for any lawsuits or infringement suits that may be knocking on your door. Now, publicity rights or rights of publicity or image rights is something that is not so common within our jurisdiction, especially in Nigeria, because we do not have like an express law. But then you can use other alternatives. So this is my token to the podcast community, because we're celebrating International Podcast Day. So image rights, publicity rights, protects the commercial use of one's name, image, voice, likeness, personality, especially now when we're having conversations around artificial intelligence, doing all of these things. you know, it interplays with what is called privacy right. I know that under the Nigerian constitution, you have the privacy right. So under section 37 of the Nigerian 1999 constitution says the privacy of citizens, their homes, correspondence, telephone conversation, telegraphic communication is hereby guaranteed and protected. Now the scope of the right that provides for privacy of a citizen in his physical or moral activity. Now you as a Nigerian citizen, you have privacy rights. We also have the Data Protection Act as well, which the Data Protection Act of 2023, section 26, states that the person who wishes to get your information must get consent from you. So let's say, for instance, you are inviting a guest, you need to get their consent. They're going to use their name, their image for publicity. Especially when you are going to feature them or you're going to interview them, you need to get their consent. I use their name, image, voice, likeness, and personality in your podcast. Now, it can be given verbally or in writing. Verbally, because of the relationship you have with the person. In writing, you have to do that through what is called a release form that specifies the scope and duration of the use. You also need to protect and respect the privacy and dignity of these people who may come into, who may be interviewed on your podcast. So I've had an instance where I was interviewing someone and told me, oh, do not include this in your final recording. And I was like, sure, I won't do that. So you see that the person has given me conditions not to disclose any personal or sensitive information without their permission, and I agree to it. And also as lawyers, and as a lawyer, because I'm a lawyer, when we have interactions with our clients, that confidentiality is already established, that you will not share any sensitive information without their permission. However, we have exceptions where you can share certain information under our rules of professional conduct. I hope that makes sense now. So we need to respect the rights of others, obtain their proper authorization, to be able to use their work, and ensure that there is no future disputes that may arise just because you got too excited and, you know. So why is intellectual property important for podcasters? One, you can generate extra revenue when you monetize or commercialize or exploit your work by triggering the exclusive rights that the law gives you. You can protect your work and your investment from unauthorized copying and exploitation. So for instance, now if someone redistributes or publish your podcast without your consent, under the new Copyright Act, you have what is called a takedown notice, takedown proceeding. You can explore that. You can also make use of protective technological measures, which is also one of the new provisions that the new Copyright Act has in the law. You also get to attract more listeners and sponsors to your podcast. So if you're listening to me right now, please share, and support a podcaster to the edge of. We also have the opportunity to collaborate with other podcasters or creators without also compromising our rights. Now, how can we now profit from this? You know, I talked about monetization methods. First is sponsorship, because podcasting, like every creative work, is a profitable venture. So sponsorship, when you get brands want to sponsor your events, and this can be in form of an agreement between the podcasters and the company or organization that they pay the podcaster to promote their product and services on their podcast. You can agree on a fixed fee per episode or per impression. And sponsorship can help podcasters earn a steady source of income for their podcasting while providing value to their listeners and sponsors. And then you as a podcaster, you need to be strategic and choose wisely. Choose sponsors that are relevant or they align to your podcast niche, your audience, your values. And you also need to disclose who your sponsors are to your listeners. Comply with the terms and conditions for sponsorship contracts. I know a lot of us take contracts for granted, but it's the moment you put your signature to a document, you need to stick to the terms and conditions. And make sure you consult a lawyer while doing all this negotiation so that you're properly guided. Then advertising, which I think was a major dispute that arose between the cast media company and the former host. So they were supposed to be advertising on their podcast for a rate, something like that. So advertising is similar to sponsorship, but it involves you placing ads on your podcast episode or website, which could be pre-recorded or you can read it live, or you use a third-party service, whichever one. Now, ads can be based on cost per thousand, that is CPM, or cost per action, which is the CPA, and it helps podcasters earn passive income from their product for their podcast by reaching a large and diverse audience. So sometimes if you look at your analytics on Spotify for podcasts, as you see how far your podcast has reached, so that tells you, okay, if I do XYZ, this will benefit this jurisdiction or territory. You also need to choose the ad that are appropriate and suitable for your podcast content, formats, listeners, and avoid overloading your podcast with ads, so that your listeners can what? Breathe. You get it? Then one other interesting one I found out was affiliate marketing, which is a type of performance-based marketing that involves podcasters promoting or recommending products or services from other companies or platforms, and then they earn a commission for each sale or actions that result from these referrals. Now, affiliate marketing can help podcasters earn extra income because we're all about making money. But then you don't start out with the idea of, I really want to make money. But I want to be a multi-billionaire podcaster. Fingers crossed. But yeah, similar to sponsorship and advertising. Then product or services. This can be in form of you offering items. So the product or services, it's basically you offering items to your listeners or services to your listeners. So this can include books. So my book is in the work. Please look out for it. Thank you. Courses as well. If you want to learn more about intellectual property, I'm your go-to girl. Coaching. My friend Beverly Abakuba, she does coaching, and her podcast and blog post is called Develop Your A Game. So she didn't ask me to talk about it, but I'm just telling you, you know, go check her out. Consulting. I'm an IP consultant, so you can consult me. Okay. Merchandise, also in the work. Membership, events. If I organize event, please, IP friends, don't break my heart. But we're going to take baby steps so that I don't get heartbroken, you know. Now, all of this can help you as a podcaster earn some money. Another medium for you to earn money is donation and subscription. So you have, I think the recent deal between Spotify and Patreon is a good one. So podcasters can actually explore that. Now, let's say as a podcaster or a creator, someone comes in and say, oh, I think we'll make a great team if we set up a podcast together. For instance, we have the I Said What I Said. I love their show. I think a few weeks ago, they were celebrating their how many years now. And they posted their first ever picture. I was like, there's hope for me, because Odura easy. This podcasting, no easy. But then let's say you want to go into a podcast partnership with your friend. From the lawyer perspective, I would say sign a podcast agreement. And here are a few things I would ask you to look out for. So one thing that creatives really, it says I'm stressing my really, so you know how important it is ownership. Who owns the right to the podcast? Who can retain full ownership of the content? Do you have to share the work with a network or agency like the Cast Media agency? Can you use your podcast for other purposes, such as repurposing it into a book or a course? Can you license your podcast to other platform or media outlets? Can you sell your podcast to another network or agency in the future? This is one question you should be asking before you even sign a contract. So I know saying that you're baddie me, blood is thicker than water, all those, you know, things that we say. But you really want to make sure that you have full control over your intellectual property and that you're not giving away too much of it to someone else. Especially when you're looking out for sponsorship deals, branding, then affiliate marketing, all those things that you said before I said talking about this one. Next is exit clause. How easy or hard will it be if you want to end your relationship with your co-host? What are the conditions and consequences of terminating the contract? Do you have to give notice, pay a penalty? Do you keep working with a network or agency for a certain period of time after ending the contract? Can you do the same podcast? So non-circumvention, the convention will be, conversation needs to be had, confidentiality, what can you disclose, what can you not disclose? Can you take the podcast with you when you leave, or do you leave it behind? Ask for these things. Make sure that you have a very flexible and freedom to change your mind. Also have an option, a negotiation clause, renegotiation clause. Then again, I think payment terms, how will you be paid for your podcast? How often will you be paid? And that was one of the issues that Cast Media had with its former host. They alleged that there were late payments from Colin Thompson. Will it be based on downloads, ads, revenue, sponsorship, whatever it is you get? You know, will you get a flat fee or percentage? Will there be any deduction or fee? Ask all these questions before you sign for transparency's sake. So you don't have anyone saying, this one has done another podcast sponsor scheme and now he wants to go. Have a very clear and fair contract with your podcast network or agency, with the lawyer and your retainer, with your accountant, with your co-host, because the Copyright Act grants protection or makes provisions for joint ownership, you know. That way you're able to maximize your income, your creativity, your ownership. Don't sign anything without reading it carefully and understanding it. Give your intellectual property lawyer to help you, or your copyright lawyer, your creative lawyer to help you. Hey people, okay, anyways let's move on to the next one. So a few weeks ago, I got this question from a fellow podcaster on how she can protect herself in the podcast industry. So why do you as a podcaster need to get a release from your guests? What are the legal and ethical guide? Now, we know that podcasting is a great way for you to share your voice, your message, your expertise, just like what I'm doing here. Now, you can also get involved in legal and ethical responsibilities, which you're supposed to be aware of. And one of those responsibilities is getting a release from your guests before you interview them on your podcast. Now, depending on your relationship, if you raise the conversation of having a written release from some people, maybe not really sure. It's not really an issue. It's not a biggie. Now, you've gotten the award, but let it be in your correspondence. it's still written at the end of the day, right? Yes. Now, a release form is basically a document that grants you the permission to use your guest name. So, because you're going to ask, okay, your name, where you work, or your title, and you're going to use their image, their voice is already in the recording, their likeness, their personality. So it depends. So I think Fisayo at yeah, enough. I think Fisayo did interview Don Jazzy, even and Joey are kind of I think it's Afrobeat Intelligence as the name of his podcast, something like that. He interviewed Don Jazzy and some other big creatives in the Nigerian space. Now, those kind of people already enjoy personality rights, whereby they can monetize their name, their image, you know, get sponsorship deals, ad deals, brand deals, influencer deals, etc., etc. Now, you have, if I have Don Jazzy on my podcast, I'm sure he would propose it. I'm just saying. But then a release form gives you, it's like a license in some way. You also get to protect yourself from any potential claim that you're actually misusing your guests participating on the podcast. So it can also help you avoid violating your guests' publicity rights, privacy rights, as well as any other intellectual property rights or contractual obligations that they may have. Now, publicity rights or privacy rights are rights that protect the commercial use of one's name, image, voice, likeness, and person. And that's something we're yet to really, really dig into in our jurisdiction. But, you know, the conversation is growing. Consent can be given verbally or in writing through a release form. These contractual obligations are duties or promises that one party agrees to perform for the other in exchange for something of value. For instance, your guest may have, say, a trademark for their name, logo, slogan, or any other distinctive element that identifies with them or their business. They may also have a copyright for their book, song, painting, photograph. So it depends if you're doing like a video recording. Trade secrets, when they share certain sensitive information with you, you know, and they tell you, so I'm telling you this, you shouldn't tell another person. Very, very important. Do not. A contract with another company, organization, or platform that restricts or regulates how they involve in other media outlets or activities. Those things may be there. Now, if you have any of these elements in your podcast without proper authorization or, you know, the fair dealing principle, you may be infringing on your guest's intellectual property rights or contractual obligation. This may result in legal actions and damages taken against you. So it's very important you get a release form. A release form will help you, like I said, they protect your guests. You get to obtain permission to use your guest name, image, voice, likeness, and personality in your podcast, clarify the purpose and scope of your podcast, acknowledge and respect your guest's IP, protect yourself from potential lawsuits. It also helps build trust and rapport with your guests. So yeah, you know, how can you get a release form from your guest? Come up, meet a lawyer to draft a template for you, customize it, send it to your guest, ask your guest to sign, keep a copy of the signed one. You know, I think that covers it anyways. So we're about to wrap up now, and I'd like to thank Tony Doe again for drawing my attention to this conversation, because this is going to have like a very significant impact on the podcasting industry. It also raised this case raised questions as to ethics and transparency of podcast agency and their relationship with podcasters. It also highlighted the importance of protecting one's intellectual property and contractual obligation as a podcaster. So that's all for today's episode. I hope you found it insightful, informative, and helpful. If you have any questions or comments about intellectual property, feel free to reach out to me at ipseriesinfo@gmail.com, or you can DM me at ipseries_with_esmeraldoesq. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on any of the platform you're currently listening to IP Series. It really helps me out. I hope you found this conversation today on podcast schemes, why you need to get a release form from the guest, how to do it, the types of intellectual property. Very, very helpful. I hope you enjoy International Podcast Day celebration and have fun listening to or creating podcasts. Happy podcasting!